Chapter 27. Thomas Machita paid his admission and entered the grounds of the traveling amusement fair, one of many that sprang up on holidays around the South African countryside. It was Sunday, and large groups of Bantu and their families lined up at the Ferris wheel, merry-go-round, and booth games. Machita made his way over to the ghost ride, according to Emma's telephone instructions. He was undecided as to which tool he would employ to kill Emma. The razor blade taped to his left forearm left much to be desired. The tiny bit of steel was a close-in weapon, lethal only if he sliced his victim's jugular vein in an unguarded, discreet moment, an opportunity Machita considered quite remote in view of the sizable crowd around him. Machita finally decided on the ice pick. He let out a satisfied sigh, as though he had solved a great scientific riddle. The pick was unobtrusively threaded among the strands of a basket clutched in his hands. The wooden handle had been removed, and in its place electrical tape had been wound several times around the needle-like shaft. A quick thrust between the ribs to the heart, or into an eye or an ear. If he could somehow ram the shaft into one of Emma's Eustachian tubes, there would be little if any body fluid to tell the tale. Machita tightened his grip on the basket that held both the ice pick and the $2 million for the payoff. His turn came, and he paid for a ticket and mounted the platform of the ghost ride. The couple ahead of him, a giggling man and his obese wife, snuggled their way into a small car that seated two. The attendant, an old, haggard-looking derelict who constantly sniffed at a runny nose, lowered a safety bar over their legs and shoved a large lever protruding from the floor. The car bounced forward on a track and rolled through two swinging doors. Soon women's screams could be heard escaping from the darkened interior. Machita entered the next car. He relaxed and became amused at the thought of the ride. Images of his childhood returned, and he remembered cringing in a similar car during another ghost ride long ago as phosphorescent banshees lurched out of the blackness at him. He did not observe the attendant as the lever was pushed, nor did he react immediately when the old man leapt agilely into the car with him and lowered the safety bar. "I hope you enjoy the ride," said a voice that Machita knew to be Emma's. Once again the mysterious informer had shrewdly capitalized on Machita's laxity. The odds favoring a clean kill had suddenly evaporated. Emma's hands expertly frisked his clothing. "How very wise of you to come unarmed, my dear Major." "A score for our side," thought Machita, his hands casually holding the basket and shielding the ice pick. "Do you have Operation Wild Rose?" he asked, his tone official. "Do you have $2 million?" the shadowy figure beside him retorted. Machita hesitated and unconsciously ducked as the car swung beneath a tall stack of barrels that fell over toward them, jerking to a stop bare inches from their heads. "Here, in the basket." Emma pulled an envelope from inside a dirty jacket. "Your boss will find this most interesting reading, if not vastly overpriced." Machita was glancing through the documents in the envelope when a pair of grotesquely painted witches, fluoresced by ultraviolet light, leapt at the car and shrieked through hidden loudspeakers. Emma ignored the wax figures and opened the basket, studying the print on the currency under the purple illumination. The car rolled onward as the witches were pulled back into their recess by hidden springs and the tunnel plunged into darkness again. "Now," Machita thought. He snatched the ice pick from its hiding place and lunged at where he guessed Emma's right eye socket should be. But in that split second, the car snapped into a sharp turn and an orange floodlight burst on a bearded Satan who menacingly brandished a pitchfork. It was enough to deflect Machita's aim. The pick missed Emma's eye, and its tip became embedded in the skull above the brow. The stunned informer cried out, chopped Machita's hand away, and plucked the thin shaft from his head. Machita grabbed the razor blade taped to his forearm and swung it at Emma's throat in a sweeping backhand slash. But his wrist was smashed downward by the devil's pitchfork, snapping the bone. The devil was genuine. He was one of Emma's accomplices. Machita countered by throwing open the safety bar and lashing out with his feet, catching the costumed man in the groin, feeling his heel sink deeply into soft flesh. Then the car swung back into blackness and the devil was left behind. Machita whipped his body back to face Emma, but found the seat beside him empty. A brief stream of sunlight flashed several meters to the left of the car as a door was opened and closed. Emma had vanished out an exit, taking the basket of money with him.